This is Wake Up Call.
Another kind of daytime radio program.
A Gal Media property. Presented by Rocket Mortgage by Quicken Loans. Live from the O'Reilly Auto Parts studios. O'Reilly Auto Parts. Better parts, better prices every day. Alongside Ron Culver, here's Tony D.
And a good morning to you. Good throwback Thursday today. We've got that coming up. The NFL has canceled two preseason games on the calendar, giving some of you kind of what you wanted this whole time. But I'm sure you didn't really want it under these circumstances. Yep, the preseason is just going to be two games, which probably where it should be anyway. But if you talk to NFL coaches, they always tell you, like, oh, no, we need preseason. We probably could use six if we really wanted them. I mean, we really could use that time to prepare. Nobody really believes that. But this is more coronavirus than any sort of strategic element that they've thrown in years past where they would take two preseason games to expand the regular season. This is all about the virus and trying to limit travel and trying to get August to be more preparatory for the upcoming season rather than trying to bog teams down with these preseason games to trim down their roster. Will it work? We'll see. I mean, I don't even know what the end goal here is other than just to make sure that everybody, every team that has had to go through a offseason where nobody's gone to mini camps, nobody's gone to any workouts, nobody's allowed into the facility, everybody checks in on July 28th. You kind of eliminate two preseason games so teams can just really work on their team and get their roster down and everything in the month of August before the season kicks off. Now, it does make you wonder if the NFL does have a plan for the regular season, or is it just going to be full steam ahead and let's see what happens? Is there a contingency plan in place if indeed the virus is on fire in the fall or it comes back? Are they going to limit games within the conference, in the division, in some geographical area? Are they going to have to upend the schedule for any reason whatsoever? This is a step in the right direction, though. I think these preseason games don't really matter much. I think if you're an NFL football coach and you're one of 32 people in the world that know how to manage an NFL team, you can figure out your roster. I don't think you need to travel all over the country to play games where your starter's playing for 3 seconds to determine whether or not, you know, guys should make the team. You do feel bad in a way because it's the fourth preseason game and the first preseason game they're going to get cut for the guys that need that tape to try to make roster. But there are other ways to do it. It's 2020. We can find other ways to make sure you get known around the league that you might have some value to somebody else.
It's Thursday, which means it's Throwback Thursday on Wake Up Call. Live from the O'Reilly Auto Parts studios, alongside Ron Culver, here's Tony D.
All right, we're going back to 1994. This is Soundgarden, right? Black Hole Sun, yeah. This was part of the grunge group.
Grunge era.
From Seattle. But we're not doing a Throwback Thursday of one of the happier memories of 1994, although 1994 was filled with all sorts of news items that year.
Crazy.
In fact, we talked about it just a couple of weeks ago with when they found Ron and Nicole and all of what happened with OJ. And then the 17th of June was a big sports day with a whole bunch of things going on at the same time, including the OJ chase. But this story that happened on this date in 1994 was as big and also big around the globe. But it was also big here because part of what happened today happened in the United States, and that was the death of Andres Escobar, the Colombian soccer player who was gunned down in Medellin, Colombia. He was the guy that kicked the ball into his own goal against the United States at the World Cup a couple of weeks before, right? That was the elimination game. How far back? That far back.
It wasn't an elimination game. It was still in group play.
Oh, it was still in group play. Okay, but it prevented Colombia from getting into.
Yeah, it was the second game of the group stage, and I mean, it was an own goal. I mean,
and Colombia was a heavy favorite at the World Cup. They were not a heavy favorite, maybe, but one of the favorites, right?
Oh, they were. I think they were picked to make it into the quarterfinals at least, possibly into the semifinals. There was a lot of people who believed that this Colombian team could win it all.
So Andres Escobar accidentally kicked the ball into his own net, and then went back home to Colombia. Went out to a nightclub. Then
he was about 3 o'clock in the morning. If you remember the, if you watched the 30 for 30, the two Escobars, couple of men came up and one fired a couple of, I think either two or one just fired guns into, and allegedly yelled out goal or how about something related to the own goal while they were shooting him, and he was rushed to the hospital and he died. But there's a couple of implications for this. It was one, like even back in, you know, 1894, because a couple of years before that, Pablo Escobar, the drug lord, was killed. Agents were chasing after him. But, you know, if you go back, like kind of growing up, Colombia was always depicted in movies as, you know, the drug capital. And there was always like drug lords. And, you know, like, so, you know, you don't, as a young man growing up, not really following the news, knowing about Pablo Escobar. But it was like when that own goal happened, you kind of wondered what was going to happen to him. He was going into a place that was just loaded with drug kingpins that probably had money on the match.
Yeah, we kind of, I don't want to say poke fun because I feel like it's disrespect, but that's what we did.
Kind of did, yeah.
Kind of poke fun. I mean, still to this day, I look at Colombia as the drug capital of the world.
Exactly.
You know, I mean, so. It's funny. I'll see Sofia Vergara. Right, and I know that she's from Colombia, and I'm just like, man, what was it like growing up dodging bullets?
Yeah, exactly.
Because I think the entire country is, you know, just one gigantic ghetto.
And so, you people were kind of, you know, when this happened, people, it wasn't like it was shocking. It was like I thought that's what that would probably do. I thought that guy needed protection when he got.
Well, I mean, it wasn't shocking because when we watched the 30 for 30. His own teammates advised him not to go back.
Right. They knew how dangerous it was. They were under an amazing amount of pressure. I didn't realize until that documentary, they were getting death threats. Their families were getting death threats because they weren't playing well in the World Cup. And they were like, you better play better. And so they were going into the match against the United States under tremendous pressure. I didn't realize.
Well, and that it was supposed to be a gimme.
Right. Exactly. Going up against the U.S., right? So one of the things about that 30 for 30, and I, by the way, if you've never seen it, watch it, but the whole thing is in subtitles. So the whole thing's in Spanish.
Yep.
And it's like 2 hours long. And it's called The Two Escobars because part of the documentary is on Andres Escobar, his youth and his rise to being an international soccer player, and also Pablo Escobar and what narco soccer was all about and how he rose to power and how he was so influential and how he influenced the creation of the Colombian national team. But that documentary, and again, it's a documentary, so people's opinions are going to be in it, and who knows if this is true or not, but because Pablo Escobar had died a couple of years before, the documentary makes it kind of brings out the theory that if Pablo Escobar had survived, Andres Escobar would not have been touched because he was so powerful and he was so supportive of the Colombian national team and loved, he had him over to the ranch. You know, he kind of really was supportive of those guys.
Well, he built a complex for him, I think.
He built a complex for him, right? Paid them a lot of money that he, you know, nobody would have made a move on him if Pablo Escobar had said nobody make a move on him. And, you know, so nobody did anything outside of Pablo Escobar's decision. So there's belief that he would have made it clear that no revenge was, you know, on that guy was necessary. Who knows? But that happened on the shooting happened on this date. So we go Throwback Thursday. We'll talk more about that throughout the show today. And also a couple of other things that happened on this date in other years. But 1994 is the year we will be concentrating on today. So back to the NFL canceling two preseason games. Would you be surprised if they had zero preseason games?
Because
I really wouldn't. I mean, I think this is the first step to eliminate the entire preseason. I think that's coming in the next couple of weeks.
Yeah.
I think it'll be zero.
I think
zero. They're
just looking at it as a necessary precaution or looking at the games as unnecessary risk.
Yeah, because is anybody doing this? Like nobody, like Major League Baseball isn't playing any spring training games, right? They're just sending people to camp, get ready, and then the season starts. We're not taking the Yankees and Red Sox and playing sometime in early July is like a practice game. I don't think you need it. I don't think it's necessary. You're not going to have fans in the stands. You're not going to sell tickets to this thing, right? Not in August, right? Maybe down the road you can start getting some fans in stadiums, but not in August, and no one should be going to stadiums in that, at anywhere in the country in that point. So if you're the NFL, what is, other than slapping these things on local television and in a couple of national games, what are you doing? You know, there's no need for it. And I think honestly, the NFL will decide eventually, nah, we're going no preseason.
And honestly, is there really a cry for these games?
No, not at all.
I mean, I did not see one person going, oh, man, what do you mean you're canceling preseason games?
Exactly.
We need our preseason games.
And if you're the NFL and you've got a big kickoff date and you've got Kansas City at home against Houston, and that's the target date that you want, and you know how big of a game that will be, if that goes off without a hitch, that goes off on as scheduled, how big of a game that is going to be in a pandemic 2020, you're going to do everything you possibly can to get to that game. And you do not need the Rams and the LA, you know, Las Vegas Raiders to be getting coronavirus in a stupid preseason game that doesn't matter whatsoever. Doesn't matter to players or coaches. And these coaches that said, and I said this at the top, who've always claimed that I need as many preseason games as I can. If you can't evaluate the roster, give those millions of dollars back to the team. That is your job. Your job is to figure out who can play and who can't play, and how do you utilize those guys. If you can't figure out the rest of your roster and you need preseason football to determine that, send the money back, because you need to quit. That's good. That, you've got to have some sort of intuition as a head coach to figure out your roster. Now, we all know why, you know, that we used to have preseason games in the past, right? There was an opportunity for guys who weren't going to play for the Raiders to possibly play for the Broncos or possibly play for the Dolphins, because the Raiders may not need you, but other teams might. And that was always the better part of those fourth preseason games, where you were emptying up the bench because guys were getting tape. And, you know, you would see some players get signed in week two or three or four when the injuries started to pile up. There'd be a general manager who would go like, yep, you know what? I know you did good things with Kansas City, and they had to release you, but you're more than welcome to come here and be our new corner, because we're short at that position. But you know what? It's 2020. We can figure out how to get those guys work when the time comes.
Yeah, in fact, you know who the only people are going to be upset about no preseason games if the whole preseason was canceled?
Right.
Hard Knocks.
Yeah, Hard Knocks, exactly. Yeah, because the Hard Knocks videos are pretty cool when there's preseason games.
Yeah, but all of a sudden now they're going to have to rethink their entire game plan, right? Going, what are they working towards?
Exactly. So, listen, this league, again, wants to be the league that goes off without any problems. No big major bubble, no 32 teams on some island. You know, they want to play in these stadiums. They want to play a schedule that they had planned out, that they released back in the spring. They want to be like, look, the coronavirus is a real threat. It's a real deal, and we're taking every precaution necessary, but it didn't impact our regular season from day one all the way through 17 weeks in the postseason of the Super Bowl. Right? Baseball had to be short. Hockey and basketball had to come back. But we have an opportunity to start on time, finish on time, and that's what we're going to try to do. And this preseason, if it's in the way, it is in the way, and it is time to scratch it. You're right. No fans are going to be outraged by this. I don't think any teams are going to be outraged by this. I think the players' union isn't going to be outraged by this. If I'm the NFL, I even look at getting rid of these two.
In fact, what was the main thing on Twitter yesterday? Can we make this permanent?
Yeah, make it permanent, right?
I mean, that was everyone's reaction. I did not see one reaction going, oh, we need preseason.
Yeah, exactly. So, you know, it's any day now the NFL is going to say, yeah, those games are done too. Those games are great, because they don't need them. They do not need the risk in the next couple. And to be honest with you, they were starting in a month, right? The Hall of Fame game was scheduled for August 6th, and that got canceled yesterday. But the Hall of Fame game was scheduled in Canton, Ohio, in about a month. And then the preseason slate started a week after that. So we're talking, what, a realm of 5 to 6 weeks? We were going to be getting right into the full flux of preseason football. It wasn't going to happen. Now, here's the thing. Players are going to report on the 28th of July. Everybody's going to report on this in the same time. And you won't play your first preseason game until August 20th through the 24th. So again, if you're looking at your preseason calendar, what they did was they took off week one, they took off week four, and then they pushed week two and three up a little bit, you know, towards the start of the regular season. That's still that's still going to be problematic. So I think in the end, they're going to cancel both of those and get the season started on time. And there's really, to be honest with you, I don't care what they say. I don't care what players say. It is not necessary. Is the football going to be sloppy in the beginning? Probably, but who cares? At this point, who cares? Everyone's going to have to get their sea legs going once the regular season starts. So I don't think as fans we are going to miss it. I don't think as fans we need it. I don't think the league needs it. And the risk is too great because you're not going to be able to overcome the virus playing preseason games. What you run into is if you got a preseason game and it went off and everybody tested and everyone tests negative right after the game, you breathe a sigh of relief. And you don't need that right now. In regular season games, it got some value to them. It's got some monetary value to both the players and the league. Well, that's different, right? I mean, players get it. It's like, okay, we're going to start reevaluating this. But if you have a team that tests positive, a couple of players test positive for the coronavirus because of a preseason game, as a league, you would go crazy. You would like in the front office, you would go, "What are we doing this for? How is this happening?" So again, no preseason. Two preseason games is going to be down to zero. That's my prediction. That's the way we're heading. All right, on Twitter at Tony D Radio at Ron Culver. That is Ron with two N's. We continue. It is Wake Up Call Throwback Thursday, the 1994 edition continues on SB Nation Radio.
It's Thursday, which means it's Throwback Thursday on Wake Up Call. Live from the O'Reilly Auto Parts studios, alongside Ron Culver, here's Tony D.
All right, when you need auto parts, O'ReillyAuto.com is just a few clicks away. They offer convenient options for you to get your parts quickly. So order online at O'ReillyAuto.com, pick up for free at your local O'Reilly Auto Parts store, and they'll even bring it out to your curbside. You can also choose to have your parts delivered right to your door with free shipping on most orders over $35. Get your auto parts quickly with O'Reilly Auto Parts. Visit O'ReillyAuto.com today. O'Reilly Auto parts, better prices every day. Going back to 1994 on this date, Andres Escobar, the Colombian soccer player, shot and killed outside of a nightclub. He scored on his own goal against the United States. You were at that game? You
yes.
were telling me before?
Yeah.
Oh, young Ron Culver at the USA Columbia soccer game.
Recent graduate Ron Culver.
Excellent.
From high school. I graduated in 94. A buddy of mine, his father was able to get two tickets to some of the group stage games. You had to buy packages.
Right.
And you didn't really have the only thing they promised you is like, oh, you'll get a USA game, but you got other games involved, too. So you actually got three games. I was fortunate enough to go to two of those three games. So the first game that I saw, the first World Cup game I ever saw was Sweden versus Cameroon.
Oh, that must have been awesome.
It actually was. You know, all these games were at the Rose Bowl, Sweden versus Cameroon. I mean, it was just amazing. We sat in front of a bunch of Cameroonians, I guess, who were dressed in Cameroon traditional garb and banging drums the entire game.
So did you pull for one or the other team
not,
for that game?
Not
or did
at
you
all.
Just sit back and enjoy nope, the just, soccer greatness?
Just enjoyed it. And then we had tickets for USA versus Colombia. And for that game, we kind of did pull for a team. In fact, my buddy and I painted our faces as the American flag.
Who are some of the names on the USA team? There was Tony Meola.
Tony Meola was the goalie.
Kobe Jones.
Kobe Jones, but he wasn't really a starter.
Okay.
He was the first guy off the bench kind of guy. Alexi Lawless. Everyone will remember him. Marcelo Balboa. Ernie Stewart. He was the one who...
Oh, yeah, that's right. I remember Ernie Stewart.
Ernie Stewart was the one who scored the goal for the first goal. Oh, no, it was the first goal for the United States against Colombia. And then Colombia had tied it up, and then that's when I believe Andres Escobar drove one into the back of his own net.
God, that's crazy. That is so crazy.
But unfortunately, yes, I was at that game. It was packed house. It was amazing. We were sitting behind one of the goals, and all the goals were on the other side of the field.
Oh, gotcha. Okay.
So all the goals that happened, we were watching the Jumbotron. But the one thing I remember the most, I remember it most with Ernie Stewart's goal. Was that it was almost like a wave of cheers. Because it would start at end of the stadium because they all saw it, and then it just kept filtering all the way around towards us. And, I mean, there was a lot of action that we got to see, but unfortunately all the goals were on the other side. And, I mean, we were like I think we were like 10 rows back behind one of the nets.
Oh, I gotcha.
So, I mean, we were close to the field. It was just all the action was on the other side.
That's pretty cool. I remember my my boss went to my sports director boss went to one of the World Cup games in Foxborough, and he said how fantastic it was.
It was huge.
He said it was amazing. He said, you know, I wasn't a big soccer guy, and he wasn't a big soccer guy, but he got to go. I don't know if he went as a fan, like somebody gave him tickets, or
he went to work.
He covered it. I couldn't remember. I was kind of just in the business by then, but I remember him telling me afterwards. He's like, oh no, I went to Foxborough. It was unbelievable. It was one of the greatest sporting events I've ever attended. And I was like, wow.
It was really impressive. I remember driving to the Rose Bowl. If you know, for all you guys who've ever been to a Rose Bowl, the overflow parking lot is on a nearby golf course. So you literally just park on the golf course.
Oh, yeah. I think I've seen that golf course on the blimp.
Yeah, it's terrible for the golf course. You always feel bad for it. But that's where the overflow parking is. And, I mean, it was huge tailgating. Because, I mean, basically, you're parking your car in a park.
Yeah.
So, I mean, we were out there. We got there early. We had a soccer ball with us. We're just sitting there juggling. You're making friends with other people. And then it was like you start to see the crowd start walking towards the stadium. And that's how we knew. It was like, oh, I guess it's time to go. And we still got there way too early.
So, again, 1994 Throwback Thursday. Speaking of soccer, what is this deal with FC Dallas? They've got some number of players already got the COVID. You know,
it's Texas.
They've already got to – well, they didn't get it in Texas. They got it in Orlando. They're in Orlando right now.
Well, I mean, I think, you know, if you go from one hot state to another hot state, it's bound to happen, right?
Yeah. Well, I don't know.
I really don't know how they're going to pull all this off.
Well, if I'm Adam Silver, I'm a little nervous about this because the players weren't supposed to go into the bubble testing positive, right? They were supposed to go into the bubble testing negative, and then they're in the bubble, and now they're positive.
Yeah.
Right? There was six members of the team. They're staying at the Swan and Dolphin, and the whole—
Is that a decent hotel?
It's a decent hotel, yeah.
Okay. It's no Grand Floridian?
No, they're not. It's not a Grand Floridian or the new Disney Tower, but it's still nice. And all 26 teams, is that how many teams are there? Everyone's there.
Yeah.
Right? The tournament is supposed to start next week, and six players of FC Dallas have got the virus. I'm Adam Silver. I'm like, hold on. This better be a good idea. Because as soon as my guys get it, they're going to scream and holler at me.
I know. It was like you were saying yesterday. I think Adam Silver needs to just have that contingency plan of just ready to pull the plug.
Right.
And come out. But I think you're right. He needs to announce it beforehand. Like, hey, guys, if this is bad, we're pulling it.
Yeah, we're stopping this.
You know, we're not going to risk it. And
send y'all home.
And NBA might be the first one again to cancel everything.
Yeah. Do you see the pictures of the sandwiches that they're getting?
Oh, that's gourmet.
I know.
Gourmet.
And what's great is they're making reference to the Fire Festival.
Of course they
which
are.
I'm so glad I saw the documentary so I get the reference. Otherwise, I wouldn't have.
But I think,
and now I'm in.
But, you know, comparing the sandwiches, the MLS does have, it is stepped up a little.
It's a better sandwich than two pieces of cheese on some wheat bread.
Yeah, I'm not sure what kind of bread that is. That's right. Kind of a scary looking bread. But, and that banana didn't look right either.
No, that banana didn't look right.
Is
there some price gouging going on? Because they keep saying this is $65.
Yeah, and
price gouging. $65? Are you seriously charging MLS teams $65 for sandwich, fruit, and whatever the other part of their side was?
That's like that one scene in Independence Day when the Judd Hirsch's character is like, what, you thought it cost $120,000 for a toilet?
Right, exactly.
$50,000 for a spoon?
And this is Virginia honey-baked ham. It's like, well, it's a ham sandwich. Let's start adding adjectives to the ham so you can start, you know, jacking up the price.
I mean, what?
It's silly.
Let's be honest. That sandwich costs, what, $1 to make?
Yeah, a dollar, maybe $1.50 total. You want to include the condiment.
$65. I'm sure it's like, you know, the condiment's like the little mustard or mayo packet.
I mean, goodness gracious. Right? I mean, you know, listen. I mean, I'm sure they weren't going to get gourmet buffets, but, I mean, a $65 ham sandwich is a... I mean, come on. Like, I mean, listen, MLS is a great, you know, it's a great up-and-coming sports league, but $65 for lunch, that's silly.
to love the God and to fear the flame and to burn the crowd that has a name.
It's Thursday, which means it's Throwback Thursday on Wake Up Call. Live from the O'Reilly Auto Parts Studios, alongside Ron Culver, here's Tony D.
1994, on this date, Andre Escobar, Colombian soccer player, was shot and killed outside of a nightclub. He was the own goal guy against the United States at the World Cup in Los Angeles. What's the name of this band? Because
Live.
I feel like I had this album.
I think everyone
right?
in the 90s
in the
had this album.
In the 90s, right?
They had this song. I mean, they didn't have too many songs. I know it was this one, then they had that other one, like
Lightning Crash.
Yeah, Lightning Crashes.
Yeah, I think the name of the album is Throwing Copper, if I'm not mistaken.
Right.
I have to look that up, but I think so. But yeah, it's just...
Hey, you know what's sad? I mean, you said it. This is probably the third time you've said it now, but it's the only way we recognize him is every time you announce Andres Escobar, it's the guy who scored the own goal.
He's one of the great international soccer players.
He was.
Right? Back in the day.
He was. I mean, during that time, he was probably one of the best defenders in the world.
But you have to give us a little bit of...
Oh, no,
you know,
no.
We
I'm
were
not,
young. We didn't really,
I'm,
really
hey, that's
care
the only way
about
I
this.
Knew about him.
Yeah,
I didn't know who he was before that. The only person I knew on Colombia was Carlos Valderrama. And the reason why I knew him, because I knew he was a good midfielder, but it was because of the hair.
Yeah, that's... Oh, that's right. He had the hair. That was the guy with the big hair.
Yeah.
That's
the,
right.
The big
that's
old
right.
clown afro.
You know, it was kind of pre-internet. We didn't really know the sport that well, you know. If I'm not mistaken, correct me if I'm wrong, Mr. Soccer. If I'm not mistaken, I think Brazil won the cup.
They did.
That year, and they beat Italy.
Yes, in a penalty shootout.
And Roberto Baggio
yes.
missed the... Hit the goalpost.
Yeah, the reigning world player of the year.
Right. Hit the for Italy.
No, he didn't even hit the goalpost.
He didn't? He just completely missed?
He sailed it over the crossbar.
I thought he had hit the crossbar, but no, he sailed it over. Just completely
over.
Missed it.
Yeah, which happens.
Which happens, but...
It's not an uncommon thing. I mean, there was a lot of pressure. I mean, that's a tremendous amount of pressure.
Billions of eyes on top of
yeah.
you.
Well, you got to score this goal to keep your team in it.
Exactly. Exactly.
And, I mean, and you think, you know, people forget, too... He played 120 minutes. That's 100. Those legs are tired.
Oh, I didn't know that. Yeah. Because he started, be in the game at the end, right?
Yeah. There was no way they were going to take him out. He was
a lot of time.
I don't know if he was the captain of the team, but I know I'm pretty certain he was the World Player of the Year coming into that World Cup. I mean, he was one of the faces of the World Cup.
Right, right. So.
Especially with that. I don't even know what to call that hairstyle. You know the best thing about the 94 World Cup is if you go back and look, the hairstyles were amazing.
Yeah, they were.
Because he had like a weird... rat tail mullet thing going on for him.
So again, that's Throwback Thursday today on Wake Up Call.
But here's something that's fun.
Yes.
With that Brazil team, that there was a 17-year-old kid on that Brazil team who only played like a few minutes of the entire World Cup.
Okay.
And that was Ronaldo.
Wow, really?
Yeah, the original Ronaldo, not Cristiano Ronaldo, the original Ronaldo who went on to be one of the best players to ever play the game.
Oh, wow. That's amazing.
But he
17
was,
years
he
old?
He was 17 years old on that
that's
roster.
Pretty wild. That's great. All right. So we were talking about the NFL shorting in its preseason. There's also other news that if you were to attend an NFL game this year, you might have to sign a coronavirus waiver.
Wait, what? I got to sign?
You might have to sign a piece of paper saying you won't sue the league if you get coronavirus to attending the Dolphins-Jets game at the Meadowlands. Now, here's the thing. You buy a ticket to a sporting event, it's on you. We all know that, right? You get hit with a foul ball or something should happen. Most of those tickets, if you look on the back of them, there's all sorts of legalese behind it anyway. Signing a waiver, if I was a fan, I wouldn't like the idea of signing a waiver, but you kind of get the idea of going to a game. You kind of, they're not going to put on a sporting event like that without covering their bases on every possible thing that could happen to you in a game. However, I was talking to my sister about this a couple of weeks ago because we were chatting and she's really big in movies and she loves, and I always go, You know, I'm very curious about where we're going in terms of movie theaters. The one in my town isn't open yet. It's an AMC theater. I think it is scheduled to open soon, but it's not open yet. And it's one thing we talked with Brian Truitt at USA Today, which is, look, with technology and the ability of people to create sort of cool movie-like rooms in their house, are the days of going to the movie theater over? Is this going to be kind of the new normal where we stream releases? We pay a lot more for them, but we stream the new releases. And the kind of the conventional wisdom, my sister said it, Brian Truitt has said it, which is, no, there is still an appeal to go out to the movies, that you still will pay big money for the popcorn, big money for the drink, because you're going in, sitting in a theater, big, huge screen, big surround sound. There's just something about it that's still great. And even though you may have similar sort of capabilities in your own home with the way people are designing their homes now, it's just not the same. It's not the same of going out to the movies, so that the movie experience still is going to be with us, even though technology is saying you don't necessarily need it. And this, it's the same thing. It's the same truism in sports. Is it better to watch a football game, an NFL game at your house? Yeah, it is, especially if you're a fantasy football player, especially if you are somebody that's a fan of the league and not necessarily one team. Like you kind of want to know what's going on in other games. The big 4 o'clock game, if you live on the East Coast, is a real compelling matchup, right? It is better to sit in your big screen 4K television with surround sound in the luxury of your house without having to pay $40 to park your car and go to a seat that's, you know, in section 305. It is a better experience in your house because you have access to different replays. You have access to different information. What's going on in other games is at your fingertips, et cetera. It's, if your game that you're watching is pretty boring or it's a blowout, you might be able to switch to another game. I mean, there's all sorts of great things you can do at home rather than the stadium, but the stadium experience is still desired. Right. All of the things that come with going to a game, right, whether it is the expensive parking, expensive concessions, the crowd, the pressing of the flesh and the everybody lining up to go to the bathroom, sitting maybe in seats that aren't the best view of the game. There's still something about saying I was there. I was at that particular game. It's what because when Tim Tebow hits Demaryius Thomas for a touchdown to beat the Steelers, there are millions of Bronco fans and millions of NFL fans around the globe that saw that on television, but there were only 70-something thousand people that were there when it happened, when the stadium was shaking. Right. And point that to any sporting event. There's only a small group of the population that was there when it happened, and people want to be there when it happened. We are talking about a new normal, though. We are talking about whether or not people will go to stadiums. Will they actually go in the age of the coronavirus, even wearing a mask? Will they be willing to go to a reduced capacity stadium to see the Giants play the Eagles? Right? Yes. In all likelihood, yes. That there will be enough people that will say, of course I'll go. I love my team. I'm going. I don't care what the risks are. I'll wear a mask. I'll sit in a different section. I'll sit away from people, but I'm going to be there. I'm going to be part of the 40%, 50%, whatever the percentage is that's going to attend that stadium. And again, under the guise of, you know, everything else in every other experience that you can have outside that stadium is better than actually being in the stadium, except for one thing, you getting to tell everybody you were there. You getting to say to everybody, I had a ticket to that game. I was there. This is an old argument. This has been around a long time. As technology has gotten better for the home viewing experience, the conversation of whether or not people would actually go to games, it's been around pre-coronavirus too. But look at the ticket prices for various games. I mean, this goes to college games, right? Would you rather watch Michigan, Ohio State at the Horseshoe? Or would you rather be at the Horseshoe? Of course you'd be at the Horseshoe. Even if you had lousy tickets, you'd want to be in that stadium. Because there's a camaraderie, there's this feeling of unification with the fans. It's just the excitement of being at the game, because we all can watch it on TV, but again, only a small percentage of people could actually go, and people still want to go. But signing a waiver, I don't, I mean, there would be something about it that would creep me out. I don't know if I would want to.
Yeah, but I mean,
but I get it. I mean, we basically are doing it when we buy the ticket.
Yeah,
anyway.
You do. I mean, that's why I was surprised they're actually making people sign a waiver, because it's, I mean, usually that ticket, once you have that ticket in hand and you're carrying it with you, that's the waiver.
Yeah, exactly.
That you can't hold the club responsible for anything. I mean, I guess there are certain things you can, and maybe that's one of them. Is illness.
For people who are saying, oh, look at this league doing this, what did you really think they were going to do? Do you really think they were going to open themselves up to the liability of getting sued because people were getting coronavirus attending? You can't control. What if a guy goes, you know, he gets coronavirus and then he sues, and then all of a sudden, next thing you know, you've got, you know, you got a guy on television going, did you attend an NFL game in 2020? If so, you could be compensated if you got the coronavirus. Call my office. And there's a big, you know, tort case. I'll fight for you. Where the guy's after, like, going after $300 million from the league because he found every single individual that ever got coronavirus attending an NFL game over 17 weeks. Right? You think the league is going to let
I mean, it's a class action lawsuit. You get an email.
Yeah.
Several years later. Did you happen to attend a game in 2020?
Becomes the next mesothelioma, right? I mean,
exactly.
Call Johnson & Johnson, right? I mean, that's what's going to happen. You think the league is going to lend itself to that? You think it's going to allow itself to be sued by mega lawyer on TV? You got to be kidding. If you're surprised, not necessarily surprised, but if you're kind of tweaking your head like, ugh, this league. Please, what would you do? I mean, seriously, what would you do if you had a product that you kind of need people to buy and attend, and you're kind of looking at, and all of a sudden you go to your lawyer and you're like, we'd like to have people in the stadiums, and the lawyer's like, before you go one step further, you need to make sure no one can sue you if they get this virus.
So I wonder how they're going to do this. I mean, is it going to be something you bought a ticket, so they email it to you and bring this form with you, or is it, hey, outside the gate, we're going to have this other line for people to not social distance stand in?
That's a great question. I didn't think about it. Actually, that's a really good question. When they said sign a waiver, who collects the waivers? Who keeps them on file? Who has to sort through them all?
It's all this. I mean, I'm just so curious because it seems so weird that to have a fan in the stands now. Like, we've already been preconditioned that, every stadium's going to be empty. It's like, okay, how is this even going to work?
Right. Exactly. It's like bringing your permission slip from school.
Yeah.
I mean, you just, like, you walk in, it's like,
sorry, Johnny, you can't go in. Your parent didn't sign.
And what if, here's the other thing, too. Yeah, there's going to have to be, okay, correct me if I'm wrong. I'm not a lawyer here, but you wouldn't hand in a sheet, right? You would, because hand in a sheet, it may not be your signature on it.
Well,
they don't know
now,
that.
Now you've done it.
So now you got to have
now
people
found the
sign.
Loophole.
Now you have to have people sign when they enter the stadium. How long is that going to take?
So is it going to be, if the signature don't fit, you must acquit?
Yeah, let's see an ID. Let's make sure this is you. Let's compare signatures. Just slap it on the ticket and tell people, you can't sue us if you get the virus. Yeah. You want to come? This is the new thing. You want to buy? You have a ticket to this game. You cannot sue us if you get the virus. It's the same thing. Like, I don't sign a waiver when I go to a major league ballpark, and I can't sue if I get hit with a foul ball.
Right.
It's part of the ticket. Look on the back. It's part of the ticket. Just slap it on the ticket and don't need to sign anything. I mean, maybe you do. Again, I'm not a lawyer. I didn't travel up to law school. So who knows? But I mean, it's just, I don't know. I think many fans get it. I think many fans go, all right, yeah, I know the league is trying to protect its millions, but it's kind of par for the course. It's normal. That's the way it goes. All right, it is Wake Up Call. Tony D, Ron Culver. If you'd like to hit us up on Twitter, we'd love to hear from you at Tony D Radio, at Ron Culver. That's Ron with two N's, or 800-224-2004 as we continue along with Wake Up Call.
Now maybe it's Thursday, which means it's Throwback Thursday on Wake Up Call. Live from the O'Reilly Auto Parts Studios, alongside Ron Culver, here's Tony D.
It's Throwback Thursday. 1994 is the year we go back, and this hour of Wake Up Call is presented by Rocket Mortgage by Quicken Loans. Rocket Mortgage is with you every step of the way to provide a seamless mortgage experience. Joey Chestnut, hot dog eating legend is going to join us next hour.
Not just a hot dog.
I mean, he's
eating legend.
Eating legend. Forget hot
competitive,
dog.
Competitive eater legend. Like I said during the break, I think it's kind of like the Babe Ruth of competitive eaters.
Defending champ, a world record holder of the Nathan's Hot Dog Eating Contest is going to join us next hour. I can't wait.
Maybe he can answer the question if one of our hosts could down 30 hot dogs.
Yeah. I'm going to ask him that. I'm going to say one of our hosts claimed just off the cuff that he could eat 30 just if he was hungry. Can you, you've eaten 70. Can you give us an idea of just, that's about
just say
halfway.
That number again. 70. Plus,
yeah, you've eaten 70. In just, you know, it's a little less than half of that, but, you know, it's off by five. Give me, what is it like when you reach sort of the halfway point at 30? What would he expect? What would the amateur expect to have going, like, when does it start creeping back up, the old esophagus?
The other thing I want to know, has he ever, when was the last time he saw a 4th of July fireworks show?
Yeah, right. Yeah.
Because I know if that was me or you, we're in bed. Oh. You know, I'm watching like, you know, the Macy's Day fireworks show on TV.
Yeah, no doubt.
I'm not getting up.
No doubt. That's crazy. I mean, and you know how big a deal, remember when Kobayashi was winning and everyone thought there's no one, because Kobayashi, Kobayashi was kind of the Babe Ruth, because there was this feeling like 27, 30 would win this thing. And then he got 50 and you're like, wait a minute, no one is going to ever be able to beat that. Like, we're doing it wrong. We got to retrain. Like, he's just going to win this thing for years and years and years. And I remember it was like 2006 or 2007. When Joey Chestnut won, it was like, oh my God, there is another person.
And it brought America pride.
Yeah, American pride, as the United States took back the mustard-colored belt. That is Joey Chestnut. He's coming up next hour as we continue along. It is Wake Up Call. It's SB Nation Radio. And again, Tony D, Ron Culver.